audio race. Check.
Real Racing USA.
Live on the internet. I'm Rick Angies.
I'm Jack Smith.
Hey, I'm CC Brooks. I'm back.
Yay.
All right.
I'm crashing your show now, guys.
All right. Very cool. That's cool.
Well, you know, it was a week off. I couldn't hear the microphone in my ears, and so.
Well, it's good to have a real radio personality, you know, hanging out.
Right.
A real
radio personality.
On Real Racing USA.
Real Racing USA.
Thank you, guys.
But how do you like it down here on the 7th floor, not up on the 8th floor?
It's different. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's a step.
You didn't know
down,
the elevator stopped here, did you?
No, I always go straight to the top.
There you go. Wow, what a weekend of racing here in the state of Florida. National exposure, the Florida 400. Superman Dave Steele making it two in a row. But them two kids that were behind him, what a show they put on. CC, you were there.
I was there. I loved it.
Yeah, this kid, Jacob Wilson, I was talking to Rob Klepper, who is the announcer for USAC, and this kid basically drove Kenyan midgets, which are basically a step down from a regular midget car. They have a motorcycle motor in them. And he comes out and he wheels 400 laps with the best of the best out there at DeSoto Super Speedway.
Well, I got to tell you. We think he had one of the fastest cars out on that track Saturday night. The people I was sitting with, you know, everybody first initially, the race starts and everybody is looking at Brian the pole sitter and, of course, Dave Steele, who we all know. Right. And then it was sort of like, wow, look at that 11. And everybody was just like, oh, my God, that's a 17-year-old who's never done this before. We were just all blown away by him and impressed by him so much that we were sort of all in agreement that this young man has quite a future.
Well, the whole race would have been different, though, because if you remember early in the race, the number 14, Tim Barber, yellow sprint car, hit the wall hard on the backstretch. Now, that was a car that was really on the move. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was passing Dave Steele. He was passing Gringas. It could have made a whole different thing. But when you're out there racing with Dave Steele, it's him.
I mean, if you're racing Dave Steele, you're just going to have to be satisfied to, you know, settle for second and third. But there were quite a few wrecks that were just amazing that the guys walked away from and that really changed the course of the race.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And the worst one of the night was Dakota Stevens when he went upside down over in turn number one.
Yes.
Landed back on his wheels. He got out of the car, but when he got to the infield, he...
And the fuel cell came off.
Fuel cell came out, yeah.
Oh, is he now about 15?
Yeah, I believe he is 15 now. And he was in an old Doug Hevron car.
Yeah.
Old sprint car. But it held together good, and I heard he's okay. He's walking around a little sore.
Well, you know what? That's why it pays to invest in the best safety equipment.
Yeah, you know, now Dave Pletcher's wearing a full-face helmet. How about that?
I tell you. You know, well, the family got on him.
Yeah.
Family got on
the
him.
The wife did. I was surprised that she's going to let him get back in a sprint car myself.
So they had a full grandstand, I understand.
Oh, good crowd. I mean, just the show just went smooth. We clicked it off. Like CeCe said, there was quite a few cautions in the first half of the race, but second half of the race we had a nice long green flag run.
Yes.
A lot of racing all over the racetrack.
It was literally, Jack, one of those you're sitting on the edge of your seat races.
Oh, no doubt.
The second half, you couldn't just sit back and relax, and you couldn't go to the concessions, and you couldn't go to the bathroom because you didn't want to miss anything.
That's why I stand up at racetracks.
Yeah.
It would have been a long stand for this one, Jack.
Yeah, 400 laps.
Yeah,
400 laps.
2 hours, 35 minutes, and 5 seconds.
So later tonight, we're going to speak with Danny Sammons from Area Auto Racing News. We're going to talk about a number of things, including indoor racing. This is too cool. But we're also going to talk with Bobby Santos, third, Jacob Wilson, here in the first hour.
Right.
Second hour. It's the Augie, man. It's the Augie show.
That's the other big thing that happened in the state of Florida this weekend, the Snowball Derby. Augie Grill taking the Snowball Derby. I tell you what, you know, it's the Super Bowl of late model races. I mean, there's Nashville, there's Milwaukee, but they all come to the Snowball.
I just, you know, to me, the whole funniest thing about the whole deal, other than, I mean, of course, Augie Grill winning is a big deal, but... Hey, the NASCAR stars come down. got their butts at home.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, they could call it the Tech Ball Derby, too.
Well, they get home because they get sent because their cars aren't passing tech, right?
Right. But, see, the Snowball Derby is, it out of all the races there is, mm-hmm. they do not give you. Like, racetracks will give you, okay, well, you're this much over.
You can
so
fudge a little. You,
okay, you can, yeah, well, okay, we'll let you slide. Yeah. No.
I guess Fritz set the standard for that long ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Fritz
set the standard. He used to walk down through the things with a, what was the deal when the guy, he said he only needed one piece of equipment to do tech, and that was
a knife.
A knife.
Yeah, and to cut the sidewalls off the tires, see if they were too soft.
For real?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Then we're going to talk to Bruce Hibbs Jr., and we're going to go up to Orlando Speed World, which is where Bobby Santos III, Dave Steele, and the gang will be up there this Friday night. PRI, third annual sprint midget show.
Yeah. Bobby and Jacob will both be racing in that race Friday night. So we'll get to go up and watch that, check out the PRI show.
Last year there were 8,000 people there, and this year they expect more.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
They used to get that many up in Indianapolis at this time of the year.
Right.
And they didn't have a race.
Well, no, 8 to 10,000, 8 to 10 at the race.
Oh, yeah, at the race.
Or
yeah, like, yeah.
Orlando.
Yeah. Yeah, the show itself, so many people go through that. All the top names in racing go through that. The top teams come to it. Big news this week, right now, that just coming out.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Is that Dennis Huth, the owner, we talked to him a couple weeks ago.
Fascinating 45-minute interview.
I'm telling you, man. That's another one we could have spent 2 hours with. Easy. The guru of the Craftsman Truck Series owns the ASA outright, has filed suit with the Varneys on an alleged trademark registration.
Yeah. Yeah, Racing Speed Associates, which is his company, filed suit in United States District Court in Illinois today against Ron Varney and the ASA Late Model Series, seeking to invalidate and cancel the ASA Late Model Series trademark registration. And this is kind of like one of them things you just hate to see. I mean, you just hate to see it. One of the ASA, it don't get no better in stock car racing and short track racing in the ASA. It just don't get that name.
Right, right.
And you just hate to see this.
Well, the names that have came out of the ASA, you know, when it was the National Touring Series, Rusty Wallace, Mark Martin, Darrell Waltrip, and the list goes on and on. It's been rejuvenated. You know, you got the late model series with the North and the South and the Challenge Series now. And, you know, coming up to this, prior to this lawsuit being filed, we've talked to both parties, and they both seemed, you know, that they were happy with the way things were, that Ron owned the late model series and that Dennis owned the rest of it, but it doesn't look that way anymore.
Well, as the Ron Varney, we spoke to him about an hour ago, and they are going to have a news release out shortly. It may already be out right now. I haven't checked the email here in a minute, but they're going to put out their own release. And it's just a sad thing, you know. And this guy, Dale, he seems to be,
Stephen Dale.
Yeah, I just, you know, who knows how this is all going to turn out. But it's, you know, you remember when he took over, he bought the ASA or whatever and basically destroyed one of the premier, I mean, just the best names in racing. He destroyed it.
Oh, he ground it in the dirt. And
I mean, he had the doors locked on him where it was up in Carolina.
Charlotte.
At Charlotte. He didn't have the money for the purse. They came in and put padlocks on the track and confiscated all of the trailer.
Took his trailer. And Humpy Wheeler ended up paying the purse on that race just so those guys could have the race.
Somehow or another, you got to know, and some things we just can't talk about, but you got to know that somehow or another he's involved in this.
Yeah.
There's very little doubt about that.
The things that we've seen in racing just here in the state of Florida, nothing surprises me anymore.
But hopefully that all gets worked out, because the ASA Late Model Series is just a great place, as we've had many, many people, you know, legendary race car drivers from the past talk about where this is a great place for young people to be learning the trade and the craft and to come up through the ranks. And also Dennis Huth, who you know, this guy is he's got one hell of a resume. So you hope this all works out for the positive for everybody.
Other big news in Florida racing is Bronson's going back to a weekly racing series. Hopefully it'll last through the year. Great little track. You almost owned that track at one time, didn't you, Jack?
God! Thank God for small favors.
I told you.
That fell apart 4 days before the closing, and thank God for that.
I told you you didn't want that. You didn't want to be a racetrack owner.
They really shouldn't have thrown that pass over the middle, Rick.
I'm emotionally drained, Jack. I'm emotionally drained.
I can't even do a racing show without thinking about it. It was crazy.
I bought a 12-pack of beer to watch that and figured I'd drink four or five beers.
Did you watch that game last night?
Oh, wait, are you going on to football now?
Yeah.
Now you completely lose me. Yeah. Not a football girl, a racing girl.
Well, it's sports, and it's competition, and it's intense.
It's intensity.
It's a guy thing.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you know what's funny is I run into a lot of guys that think it's strange that I would want to do things like go to the Florida 400 and sit there and watch 400 laps of racing. They don't know many other girls that like that.
I know lots of girls that like
it. Oh, that's why I tell them. I go, I see all kinds of girls at the track when I go.
I know girls that live and die for them fast cars going
that's
around.
That's right.
But I tell you what, that game last night was like watching Robert Yoho lead the last 10 laps of the Governor's Cup with Wayne Anderson on his back bumper, and you just knew what was going to happen. You just knew Wayne was going to pass him.
Yeah. What was it, the Patriot game? Or
Patriots in Baltimore. And see, the thing that Jack and I have that's really makes that game intense is we're Dolphin fans, and the Dolphins we're trying to protect that only undefeated season.
Yeah, I was actually getting all ready to go down and find me some champagne to celebrate.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it was one of those things. Anyway, Rick, we have it's that crazy.
It's that nuts.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, we have with us. From the Area Auto Racing News, Danny Sammons. Welcome to Real Racing USA, Danny.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, we were just sitting here talking about that crazy football game last night, so I guess since it's a racing show, we better get back on target here.
Yeah, you better get back on the subject.
So tell us about the magazine, Area Auto Racing News. I mean, it's very well known. Tell us a little bit about the magazine.
Well, Area Auto Racing News is a weekly publication. We print 50 weeks a year. We cover pretty much anything that's short track racing. That's our main focus. Mostly in the Northeast, we cover the asphalt modifieds in the New England, the dirt modifieds, the sprint cars in central Pennsylvania. But we also do cover all the national touring series, including NASCAR, Hooters Pro Cup Series. Pretty much anything that's racing during the summer, we're about 80 to 88 pages, and if it raced that weekend, we pretty much have it covered.
Yeah, we see copies of it down here.
Yeah, it's pretty strong in the Northeast, but our circulation, we have subscribers in all 50 states, so we're pretty wide-reaching.
Yeah, now, have you heard about this modified reunion deal down at New Smyrna this winter?
I've heard little bits about it, not too much. New Smyrna actually made my asphalt modified debut at New Smyrna a couple of years ago. It's a good track. I'd like to get down there and race myself again this year, but I actually drive for a guy, and I don't know that the scheduling and the finances will permit. So.
And what are you driving these days?
I drive on the NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour for car owner Ralph Solom. I've been doing it for 2 years now. Last season got cut short because I actually broke my foot. It was the first time I've ever been hurt in a race car, but I broke my foot on the mile at New Hampshire, which is, you know, one of the cooler things that we get to do with the modified. Just unfortunately, it turned out pretty bad, and it shortened my season this year. So I'm all healed up and looking forward to next season.
Danny, what do you do with Area Auto Racing News?
At the paper, I handle the production side of things, the final production. Anything that has to be made or sent to the printer, that goes, everything comes through me at the end of the day. During the week, I work in the advertising department, And then at the same time, I also handle all of the duties with the Atlantic City Indoor Race, organizing the race, getting sponsors and tickets on sale and pretty much anything that goes with that. That's my side job, I guess you'd say.
Hey, Danny, is it available online for people to take a look?
The paper has a website. It's www.aarn.com. And through the website, it also has information on both our motorsports show and the indoor race, which is coming up in January in Atlantic City this year. The motorsports show is January 18th, 19th, and 20th, and the race is just Friday and Saturday night, the 18th and the 19th.
All right, so Danny, tell us about this insane indoor racing deal, man.
I can't imagine. I mean, it would be very loud inside to have racing, you know, indoor.
It is loud, and it is definitely it's definitely something that if you're a race fan, that you absolutely have to check out. But what we do, just for people that aren't maybe familiar with indoor racing, we take Boardwalk Hall, which is one of the more famous buildings in Atlantic City. The Miss America pageant was actually held there until it moved to Las Vegas or Nashville, wherever it's actually held now.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a hockey rink in the center of the facility now. We take push the seats back, and there's a concrete floor, and we actually bring in 600 micro sprints, slingshots, and senior champ carts, and they race around the concrete, which it works out to be, it's a little smaller than an eighth of a mile around the concrete, around the hockey rink that's still in place. The stage is still there where Miss America is, so that corner is a little bit bigger because they can race all the way up to the stage.
Yeah.
And it's all balcony seating, and the people, it creates a great atmosphere because last year we sold out on Saturday night, and we had 7,000 people, and they're all looking down onto the racing. And the racing is just awesome because the cars are so fast. I mean, a TQ Midget, it's a 750cc motorcycle engine,
mm-hmm.
and they're going around, they're running 9-second laps. It's just something that you have to see, you have to experience it. It's a little loud, you can get the smell of racing because obviously you're indoors and the tires, it's exciting, and we make it really enjoyable for the fans at the same time through a lot of fan interaction that we're able to do because it's in a, professional arena with scoreboards and good sound system, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Well, you just sell the earplugs there, and everybody will be just fine. It sounds like a great time.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here. It sounds like it would be a really great time. I'd like to come check it out sometime.
Hello?
Hello? I think we lost him, Jack.
Danny, are you still there?
You still there?
Okay. Danny, can you hear us?
Hello.
Hello. Okay,
This is the world of cell phones.
We are experiencing great technical difficulties.
So what we'll do is we'll hook up with Danny.
All right.
Well, have you ever gone to indoor racing, Rick?
Actually, I have. At the Dome in St. Pete.
Really?
Yeah. They had the World of Outlaws there. Full-blown sprint cars.
Wow.
Yeah, it was quite a while ago, but mm-hmm. It was crazy. It was loud. It was loud. The thing that's different about the cars that he's talking about, they burn alcohol. These cars burn methanol.
Mm-hmm.
And it burns your eyes.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It burns your eyes. But it was great. I mean, it was great. They had probably over 100 cars for the event. Unfortunately for the guy, the World Outlaws is the biggest sprint car series in the nation. And unfortunately for those guys, the promoter took off with all the money.
Aw, that's a shame.
Well, which happens.
Let's see if we can pick up Danny. Danny, you there now?
Yep, I can hear you again. I lost you guys.
Okay, cool. So go ahead, Rick.
So, Danny, basically what we got coming up here is the East Coast Chili Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're setting it up to be, and except it's on asphalt. It's asphalt instead of dirt.
Okay.
I've actually never personally been to the Chili Bowl because most of the time the Chili Bowl was run at the same time as our race. This year they're on separate weekends. So, I mean, it's something that I think that we're going to be getting ready for our event, so I don't know if I'll be able to make it out. But everybody, says that it compares to it. A couple of drivers that have ran both, as Timmy McCready ran the indoor race a couple years ago. And he said that when he came out onto the track for the feature, it was one of the coolest things he's ever seen because they pushed him out because he'd come out of, the tunnel where, the players would be in the locker rooms and stuff, and he looked up and the fans were, just right on top of him. It's, the closest access that fans can ever have, and they're screaming and hollering, and it's just, it gets quite a buzz going on Saturday night.
Are these cars kind of similar to a Kenyan Midget?
They're actually a little smaller than a Kenyan Midget. A TQ midget is actually an abbreviation for a three-quarter midget.
Right, right.
And then a 600 micro sprint is it's comparable in size, and that also is something that makes the racing really interesting, is that we have TQs, which are designed to run on asphalt, and then we've opened it up for the 600 micro sprint since we're kind of in dirt country, so we wanted to have them be able to come. So we have different cars from different classes with rules that are modified, I guess you'd say, for them to come together and race. And it makes for exciting racing because, the 600, even though they have a smaller motor, they actually go down the straightaway better, and obviously the asphalt cars handle better. So there's cars with different strengths. And last year we actually started 26 cars, and there was 14 TQs and 12 600s. So they're fairly evenly matched.
So, Nate, you said pavement. What type of surface is this?
It's actually like a concrete floor, like you'd see in a convention center or in a warehouse or something like that. And it's completely flat, so we get in there the day before, and we spray it with a whole bunch of Pepsi syrup. And it gets tacky, and then we drag tires.
Why not Coke?
Well, because we're sponsored by Pepsi. It's presented by Pepsi, so it's actually presented by Sobe Life Water. So, that's one thing that, being in Atlantic City, we've been able to get some corporate sponsorship. And you said it's the Chili Bowl of the East. Well, the Chili Bowl's in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we're in Atlantic City, New Jersey, where gambling exists. And pretty much once the races are over and we run a quick show, so we get everybody out of there by 11 o'clock, and you can go hit the town and you can gamble your night away, or, it's pretty much whatever you want. It's a town that never closes.
Trump land, huh?
Yeah, big plan.
So, how fast do the cars go?
Well, I don't know. I think that they're going pretty fast. I'd say that they're probably averaging, in the 60 to 65 mile per hour range. Top speed's around 80, which is pretty fast for racing around the outside of a hockey rink. You turn your television on, you see a hockey rink, and you just imagine race cars going around the outside of them in 9-second laps. I actually raced in it a couple of years, and, I've ran in Hooters Cup, I ran in Asphalt Modified on a mile. And racing indoors, things happen so quick, the adrenaline rush is insane. Teddy Christopher, another driver, pretty well known, he's entered. He actually went out and bought himself a TQ, and it races only once a year, and that's in Atlantic City, because he loves it so much. He said that the adrenaline rush and the speed, is just everything happens so fast, he just can't get enough of it. He wouldn't miss it for the world. So, and that's the cool thing that we're getting to, like the Chili Bowl has, is that people look forward to it all year round. And actually, we just signed Ken Schrader, a NASCAR driver, that he's going to be the first one to come and race the indoor race this year.
He will race anything,
anywhere.
Yeah.
Talk to him on the phone. We've got a lot of things going on with having the motorsports show across town. And that's the other thing that's really cool, is that we've got 270,000 square feet of exhibit space just four blocks away. So you've got chassis builders, parts manufacturers, racetracks, media members, and basically you come to Atlantic City and in one day you get to go to a trade show and then go to a race at night, and you just park your car once and you can walk the rest of the way.
When is the deal, Danny?
Both events are January 18th, 19th, and 20th. And again, the races are Friday and Saturday night, and the show continues on Sunday. So we've got a lot of really good things going on. At the motorsports show, Ken Schrader and Kenny Wallace actually are going to be our guest speakers to open the show on Friday. And then again, Kenny's going to hang out and he's going to race Friday night. And then he's actually going to get out of there and, go on. But we're going to try and get another NASCAR driver to take over the car on Saturday night and run in the main events as well. So we have other NASCAR drivers. We have Elliott Sadler, Casey Mears, and Ron Hornaday are also going to be at the show throughout the weekend signing autographs. So we've got a lot going on in one big weekend in Atlantic City.
What kind of car count you get for this?
The car counts, we actually have to set limits on it because because of parking. We actually park everybody inside a convention center that's attached to where the actual races are held.
Indoor pits.
Indoor pits. So it's a very tight squeeze. We have currently, we still have a month away, but we have 75 TQs entered, which we only have room for 100, and we have 60 go-karts and about 35 of the slingshots. So we should end up with our maximum in every division, as we pretty much did last year. So we have about 200 total cars, 100 cars in the main division, and 50 in the secondary division. And again, it's all geared towards the fans, because if you have too many cars, you can't put on a quick and good show for the fans.
It's true.
How do you get rid of the, like, the fumes or whatever?
Fumes actually are not a problem. I've heard some horror stories about the fumes of the Chili Bowl and stuff, but we're very heavily regulated by the Board of Health of Atlantic City because it's the Union Hall. So we actually have people that are walking around with detectors for carbon monoxide levels, and if it gets too high, we have to take a break. And last year, we never had to break once. It's an old building, but the ventilation in it is exceptionally well. And through doing it, this will be our sixth year of doing it, the hall has learned how to direct the airflow, and we're right on the ocean, believe it or not. So the way the wind blows has a lot to do with it. And if just as long as we have a good wind coming off the ocean and we can run the vents and just push everything out onto across the street, it's not a problem.
Yeah, and I asked you when we were talking the other day, you said this is a very expensive deal to put together, and therefore that's why it's not done, like, all the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a building that, you know, in a couple of weeks they're going to hold a world championship boxing match. So it's not just an empty building that isn't used very often. It is a 10, 12,000-seat arena that they have, you know, they sell out. They have major concerts. The Rolling Stones were there a couple of years ago. And at the same time, it's a Union Hall. So every seat has a seat. You know, every person has a seat. We sell reserve seats. And there's an usher on every aisle to bring you to it. And everything has a person that, you know, has a job, and, you know, they have to be paid to do that job. So, you know, we have paid firemen. We have paid EMTs. Everything that goes into it, it makes it a first-class operation. But at the same time, it makes it a whole bunch more expensive than your average rate. So in order to make it something feasible for us to do, we have to do it one time, make it big, and make it exciting, and then we'll come back and do it again next year.
Who cleans the floor?
The floor, believe it or not, cleans up so easy, it is insane. And it's the hall's responsibility, so I say that it's easy, but it looks easy from what I can tell. And it's just because it's the Coke syrup base, everything's just built on top of that, and if you get steaming hot water, like if somebody blows a motor or somebody has any kind of issues, the floor cleans itself. So at the end of the night on Saturday, they get their Zamboni out with just hot water and a mild detergent, and by the time I have the banners taken down, they've cleaned the floor. So it's something that is amazing to watch.
And the Zamboni is the machine that cleans the ice and takes care of the ice?
No, it's a different one, but same concept. That's what we refer to it as. The Zamboni's parked off to the side. There was a minor league hockey team that was in the arena for several years, but they actually moved out of town, and since then the racing has gotten better because the ice was right there and it would make the racing surface cold, and it wouldn't take the rubber as well. So
pretty cool, man. So are you going to come down and see if you can take the money from Christopher this year at the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing in New Smyrna?
Well, I don't know if anybody can take anything from Teddy Christopher, but no, unfortunately, that's not in our plans right now. Like I said, I drive for somebody, and he dictates the schedule. If there's a race, I'd love to be there, but Ralph, he's ran the Daytona ARCA race for many years with Ed Kennedy as his driver, and coming down and running the ARCA race and running the modified at the same time, it's a little much, as I think anybody could understand. So his focus until the end of February is on the ARCA car, and then we'll start getting ready for the Icebreaker at Thompson in April.
Cool. All right. And what, again, is the website there where people can get more information about the Area Auto Racing News?
Okay, the website is www.aarn.com. You can get information about Area Auto Racing News on there. Then also there's links on there for our motorsport show and the indoor race. And if anybody wanted to get any tickets to the indoor race, they're available through Ticketmaster.
Danny, thanks for coming on, man. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to get back in touch with you after the year, next year, you know, after things get cooking next year. Love to have you come back and you know, you guys run a magazine, and I'm sure there's a lot of insights and things that you guys run across that would be interesting to our audience.
Yeah, give me a call anytime. We get the inside scoop on a lot of stuff. Right now, the news is a little slow, but there's always something happening in the world of motorsport.
You got that right.
All the time.
Every All day. Time. Thanks a lot, Danny.
Everybody in Atlantic City.
Thank you.
All right. Indoor racing.
Indoor. Well, I guess really in January, you can't be racing outside up there.
No, unless you're racing snowmobiles.
Oh, you know, I want to go on a snowmobile. I'm a
Florida girl. You've never been on a snowmobile?
I'm from Key West.
Oh, yeah. I read that in your bio.
I'm from Key West.
Key West. There's not many snowmobiles down in Key West.
No, but so one of these days, I'm going to make my way up north and have somebody take me out on a snowmobile.
There's probably somebody sitting up in New Jersey right now going, I want to ride on a jet ski.
I'll swap with her.
I want to ride on. Yeah, but indoor racing is this isn't unique. They do it all over the country, Indianapolis, all over. The biggest one is the Chili Bowl, which they run out in Oklahoma, and which is over 270 cars will show up to make a 26-car field.
Wow.
And you got Tony Stewart and, top names in NASCAR, sprint car, IndyCar racers all come to this race, and they're running midgets, which are smaller-sized sprint cars.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the biggest races of the year is the Chili Bowl.
Now, the indoor racing is strictly for the smaller cars, right? I mean, you're not going to get late models out.
Like I said, at one time they ran the World Outlaws indoors at the Dome in St. Pete, which really wasn't a great success fan-wise because they didn't promote it well, and there wasn't a lot of fans there. But as far as cars, the place was packed with cars.
How we got onto this whole deal was I was talking with Stevie LaTemp, who straight lined with Stevie on Wednesday nights. And he had just come back last week. He spent 2 weeks out in out west in California and in Las Vegas covering the all-Harley drag racing final races of the year. And they had this thing out there at Las Vegas where they were doing this indoor deal just like this. They come in and they put a banked wooden deal down like in the old days, and they race these motorcycles kind of like describing like what he's talking about.
Right, yeah.
The fans up like really close, and like people would hold out money. He said it's so close that people will hold out dollar bills or whatever, and these guys going 60, 70, 80 miles an hour, whatever, come by, they just snatch it right out of their hands.
Now, they do a lot of motorcycle racing indoors.
Yeah.
A lot, like ice racing. They'll do that at the Forum in St. Pete. That should be coming up next month.
Motorcycles on the ice.
Really? Spiked tires. Yeah.
Wow, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's a trip.
We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back with Bobby Santos III. But before that, we have a public service announcement again. We always have to have our public service announcements. And this one is from Dick Anderson. And, some people have told me
Dick says he's bitching?
Yeah, they're tired. Huh. The people have said, don't play that. Rob said, we play that too much. Hey, it's a public service announcement.
It's our PSA.
What all of these racers don't understand is we all need to be part-time promoters.
Yeah.
We all need to promote our sport and promote our racetrack. And every other racer I talk to is trying to run his racetrack into the ground and bitching and complaining about everything and bitching and complaining about to everybody that'll listen to him. Well, to me this has got a negative effect. That's going to come back and hurt you once you don't even have that racetrack there to race at.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if all the racers would go out and try to promote their racetrack and their sport a little bit more, I'm telling you what, you'd see a whole lot more racetracks that are open and staying open. And it's like I say, maybe I'm getting old. I don't know.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com. Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane. Only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to five-star race car bodies. Five-star race car bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, five-star has one driving passion: to help you win. Five-star race bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA late model series. Find out more today. Fivestarbodies.com. The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Karnak gets it done.
We are back at Real Racing USA. Rolling right along. On the phone with us right now, we've got Bobby Santos III. Big night out at DeSoto Super Speedway this past weekend. Bobby, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for having me on.
Bobby, tell us about Saturday night, man. I mean, that was one hell of a race out there.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was my first time doing a race like that, so I learned quite a bit. It was just racing was good. You know, we're passing cars the whole time from lap 1 to 400 here side by side. So it was pretty neat and a lot of fun.
Now, that last pit stop looked like you might have had a little bit of trouble in the pit. You got out right in front of the leaders, stayed on the lead lap. That was very important in that race.
Yeah, it really was. We weren't prepared for the pit stop deals when we went down there. We've never done one of those deals, so we didn't know how it was going to be. And we had to make, I think, one more pit stop than the guys that were racing. I think they all stopped twice. We had to stop three times just because, we're a little bit slower than they were. But, it was a lot of fun, and it was good to race with Dave. He's the man right now. He's tough to beat, but, it's fun to race with him.
Now, yeah. Bobby, is this the first time you've ever raced against Dave?
Say that one more time.
Is this the first time you ever raced against Dave?
Nope. I've been racing with him the last 2 years in USAC. With the sprint and the midget, we've been going back and forth the last couple of years racing with each other. But he's just a lot of fun to race with and real competitive. And, it's good to race against people that, want to win like you want to win.
Well, I think everybody around me when I was there watching the race was really impressed by the way that you handled yourself, going up against Dave Steele. It was a great race. Now, where in the field did you start?
We started third. We qualified third and, was running top five, I think, the whole beginning. And actually, we got to the lead, and I think the lap I got to the lead, we got spun out by a lap car. So that kind of put us behind. That was really the start to when Dave got away from us. When we got spun out, we just got behind and just never made up that half a lap that he was in front of us after that.
Yeah, you were pretty far behind because Jacob Wilson and David were going at it for a while for the lead, and you were almost a half a lap down to him. And eventually, though, you caught up to Jacob, and you weren't that far behind David. You were like a straightaway behind him.
Yeah, we had a pretty good car. We just got behind it a few points, but Jacob, he did an awesome job. That was his first time ever sitting in a sprint car, and a lot of fun to race with him. I think throughout the race, I think he passed me and I passed him, you know, probably four or five different times. So, you know, he was fun to race with and he did an awesome job. And I think he's going to be tough the next few years in the sprint cars.
No doubt. I mean, just coming from the midgets up to a sprint car like that and handling it the way he did, it was unreal, especially that many laps.
Yeah, I mean, that was quite the endurance race. I mean, it was tough for me. You know, I got out and I was tired, and I knew Jacob was tired, and I think Dave was a little tired, but he didn't really show it like we did because he was in victory lane, so he's a little more pumped up than we were.
Right. Bobby, this year has been a breakout year for Bobby Santos III. I met you early in the year at the ARCA race where you sat on the pole. Probably would have won that race, right, Jack? If it wasn't for a lap car at Lakeland.
Yeah.
And
That was the beginning of this year.
That was the beginning of the year. You've had the Busch ride. It's just been a big year for Bobby Santos.
Yeah, we've had last year was actually a little bit better for us, but it was a good year this year. I can't complain. You know, we won some races, but last year we won 12 races, I think. So this year was kind of a little disappointing after doing that. But
didn't you start on the pole at Lakeland?
I can't complain.
Bobby, didn't you start on the pole at Lakeland?
Yeah, we got the pole, and, I should have won the race, but kind of made a stupid mistake there with lap traffic and ended up getting taken out.
How ironic is this? The guy who, the young man who started on the outside next to you at Lakeland was in his very first stock car race. He'd only raced in sprint cars before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, remember that race?
Yeah, who was that?
Boucher or somebody? I forget his name.
Yeah, right. I think he was out in Soda. Tell us a little bit about the Busch Series.
It's all right. I'm learning with it. I still have a lot to learn. Not really sure what I'm doing with it next year. How many races I'm doing with it next year? But I think I did four this year and learned quite a bit, and still feel like I have a lot more to learn with it.
You had some really good qualifying runs this year.
Yeah, we qualified well. I think, Richmond we got seventh, and Loudon we were fourth. And, both those races we were running in the top ten till we had a flat tire at Richmond that took us out took us out of a top ten finish, and ended up getting crashed at New Hampshire that took us out of a top five finish, top ten finish. So, but, we run good, but just didn't get the finishes to show for it.
Bobby, you've been around racing all your life. Tell us a little bit about your life and what it's been like.
Like you said, my life's been racing. Started in quarter midgets, did that for 9 years, and then moved up when I was 13. I started in a small block super modified, and then just raced nothing but sprint cars and midgets.
Well, the Santos name is well known in racing, especially dirt racing. Your dad, your grandpa, what's it been like growing up in a family like that?
It's pretty neat just to be around the racing. My grandfather was a pretty well-known modified racer, so it's pretty neat to for my grandfather to be a racer. And my father kind of gave up early for me and my sister to start racing, so that was pretty good of him. But now me and my sister keep racing. My sister this is her first full year running in NEMA midgets, and she ran fourth in points, so that was pretty cool.
Wow, what a run for your sister. So what's on the horizon for Bobby Santos?
We're at Orlando right now getting ready for the PRI show, running a sprint in the midget there. But I'm not really sure what's going on for next year. Schedules are kind of up in the air, but just going to try to win a couple races this weekend.
Jack?
Yeah, anything you got? You're going to do a different approaching that race?
We're just going to go at it like we usually do. Just work hard, and Orlando's a tough place to pass. So we know we got to qualify good this year, and I think qualifying is what's hardest here the last couple of years. So if we can qualify good, I know we always race good. So I think we'll run good.
Well, that's cool, Bobby. Orlando's very similar to Soto, except for the surface isn't as rough as DeSoto, so yep. Tires won't be so much of an issue as they were this weekend.
Yep, and, we're take a zero off the amount of laps, too. Instead of 400, it's only 40 laps, so a little different.
Let me ask you, what'd you have to do to prepare for that 400 lap race physically?
Driver wise or car wise?
Driver wise.
Actually, I didn't do anything, which probably isn't smart. I pretty much went about it how I went about every other race. I should probably start working out and stuff, but I don't.
Well, you know, and it really wasn't a cool night. It was a rather warm night that night.
Yeah, it was a hot night, and I was a little tired after the race. So, but like I said, it was the first time I've ever done one of those deals. So, I learned a lot, and I think if I do it again, I'll be that much better next time.
Car preparation. What do you got to do with a sprint car to go that far? That's a long ways for a sprint car.
Yeah, it really is. Just got to make sure everything's tight in the car, obviously, like every other race. But just extra time on everything. And the pit stop deals, which, we weren't completely prepared for. But, the pit stop deals, the fueling rigs and all that, and being prepared to change tires and, that kind of stuff.
Now, is this because you don't normally drive in such long races that 400 is sort of unusual for you to be in?
Yeah, because, we usually do, USAC usually does like 40 lap races, 30 lap races. I think the longest run we've won was like a 60 lap race. So it's definitely a lot different. But, I've raced long races in different series, like the NASCAR Modifieds. I've done pit stops and done 200 lap races, 300 lap races, but never anything in a sprint car.
Well, I'll tell you, the fans certainly loved it. They loved watching you out on the track, and being able to watch the whole pitting process also was really interesting to us. And I'm just wondering, are you looking forward to doing it again next year?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I think I learned so much this year that, we'll come back and we'll be a ton better next year. I think, I'm really pumped up to run a race like that again, and hopefully everything goes well and it happens again next year, because we're looking forward to do it, and I think we'll be even more prepared to challenge Dave next year.
Well, I will definitely look forward to watching you race again.
Yeah, thank you.
Bobby, how much more demanding is it to go a long distance race in a sprint car, say next to a Busch car?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't think I've run a long race in a Busch car on a real hot day, which I think is a difference. And everything I've done has been on bigger tracks. I've never done like a half mile or a quarter mile in a Busch car. It's hard to compare, but there are a ton, just totally different race cars, drive them totally different. Everything about them's different. It's hard for me to compare the cars.
Well, Bobby, we wish you luck for the PRI show this weekend, and good luck in 2008, brother.
Thank you. We appreciate having me on, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Yeah, we'll be up there in Orlando to see you. Check it out, man. It'll be a fun time.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
Bye, Bobby.
See ya.
This kid's got a ton of experience. Like I said, Jack and I watched him race in the ARCA race. ARCA car.
He had it.
Well, he qualified a half a second ahead of everybody.
He did. He was
over 30-some cars.
Yeah, he had the field destroyed, and he had a flat tire leading the race big time in the closing lap.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, that kid might, the kid that started on the outside pole, might have been at the DeSoto race, if I can remember his Boschcamp or something.
I'll get it for you here in a minute.
We have the young man that came in third,
right?
Jacob. Number 11 sprint driver Jacob Wilson going to be joining us, and really looking forward to talking to him. Like we've been mentioning all evening, and mentioning last night on Inside Florida Racing, very impressive driving from Jacob.
17 years old.
17, first time in that sprint car.
First time in that sprint. Not only first time in that sprint car, first time going more than 40 laps.
Yeah.
In a race.
That has to be physically and mentally demanding on them. There's so much going on. There were so many cars on the track, having to pay attention to everything around you, avoiding when there were wrecks, and staying in tune with your car to sense problems. He did a wonderful job.
He did an excellent job.
And here he is. We have him on the phone with us. Good evening, Jacob.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going good. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, Jacob, you're here with Jack Smith, Rick Angies, and CeCe Brooks.
Uh-huh.
And Jacob, I was at the race Saturday night at the DeSoto Super Speedway and really enjoyed your performance. We were really impressed by you, and especially
impressed is the word,
when we found out 17 and first time to do a race like that in a sprint car.
Yeah, it was amazing. I think the year racing the PRA with the 150 lap races helped me out some, and I have 11 years of experience going from the go-karts to Kenyans, but that was my first time in a sprint car, and it felt awesome. I mean,
and I would think you must have been pretty jacked up at the end of the night to finish third, you know, to finish third behind Dave Steele. I mean, how did that make you feel?
Oh, in the victory lane there, it felt awesome. I was kind of had mixed emotions, because there I think I could have won the race if I wouldn't have messed up a couple times and mm-hmm. shot at winning the race against Dave Steele and Bobby. That was just unreal.
Yeah, well, I tell you, you've developed a whole new group of fans and supporters and people that are really going to be watching your career from now on, because you were very impressive Saturday night.
Oh, I hope so, and thank you.
Jacob, I heard your name before, but I wasn't sure who you were until Rob Klepper told me, yeah, he's the one that's been running those Kenyan midgets. And I said, Kenyan midgets? Yeah, that's basically what he's been doing. And I mean, the way you wheeled that sprint car around that track, you know, I'm sure you had a few practice laps, but man, you just took to that place like it was nothing.
Yeah, I trusted my car a lot. Clinton, my brother, and Jack had it put together. Jack French had it put together awesome. Not a bolt fell off, but I was really impressed with that. And the Kenyan midgets helped me out a lot at Anderson, I believe, because the high line there is really tricky to run, and it kind of teaches you how to trust the car and how far you can push it before you get into the wall.
Well, you got close to the wall a couple times.
Yeah.
But, you know, what was really impressive to me is the way, you know, I mean, you were letting Dave Steele know you were right back there, man. That one time you got underneath of him to make the pass. I mean, we're talking about Dave Steele here.
Yeah, the car was just hooked up. Coming off the corners, I could do what I wanted. I've never had a car feel like that, just hooked up and went. I was really impressed. I was just happy with the run and had a great time.
Well, that second time it bounced off the wall, though, it looked like it really, really got tight on you.
Yeah, we bent the rear sway bar a little bit, and after that, dumped all the weight out of the left rear just trying to free it back up, but it wasn't the same, and Bobby got us with about 20 to go there, and I was just holding on to the end.
Yeah, we weren't sure whether it was your arms giving out or the car.
Yeah, messed it up a little bit, but yeah, have next crack at this weekend. Maybe I can make up for it.
Now, who usually wheels that car?
Dustin Morgan drove it for Jeff Walker all this year, and he did a pretty good job from what I understand. I didn't go to a lot of the races, but
how did you end up with this ride?
Rico Elmore from Fatheads.com, Fathead Sunglasses, hooked me up. He hooked me up with Daryl Gaducci, and we talked a lot after the IRP race, and he let us use the car this week for the Florida 400 and the PRI show, just trying to help us out a little bit, see if we couldn't do some good. And I like to thank Daryl and Rico both. It's been an amazing opportunity.
Yeah, it was really a shame when you bounced off that wall, because I really think you had something for Dave.
Yeah, it was, I can't believe kind of just got too excited, I guess, and forgot that I was on the racetrack.
Now, who was that popped you in the head in the winner's circle?
Oh, his last name is Bumgardner. I don't know. I can't remember his first name. We had some contact early in the race. I was coming off the corner under him, and I think he came down. He thinks I came up and got together, and he went around. And disagreement, racing thing.
Now, you know, 33 cars on a 3/8-mile racetrack, you're going to make a little contact every once in a while.
Yeah.
Well, it couldn't be helped. And I tell you what, the fans just were so impressed by 11 rows of three.
Oh.
I mean, that was just amazing. How often do you see that at the local track?
Not down here.
And so we were all really impressed, actually, by It really wasn't. There wasn't a lot of yellow. There were less accidents and
for
problems.
For 400 laps, there weren't.
Exactly.
The first half of the race, there was quite a few caution flags, but the second that one long green flag run was that was just great.
You know, there could have been more, but I think it's to talented drivers like yourself, Jacob, that you just got on there and drove and put on a great show.
Thank you.
Jacob, I got to ask you, when the race started, did you see those fireworks going off?
Oh, coming through one and two, I could see them go up every now and then, but I never got to see them explode in the air. I was kind of disappointed. I wanted to watch the fireworks, too.
Well, you know what, Jacob? I have them on video. Give me an email address. I'll send them to you. They were beautiful.
Good deal.
I was just wondering if any of you guys caught that, because, I mean, y'all were at full speed starting the race off, and those things started going off over the drag strip, and they just kept going.
Yeah, we had a caution there for a little while, and you could go through one and two and look over and see them.
So what did you think of the track itself?
It was very racy. I think we could have put it three wide on the outside even and still made some passes. I couldn't believe how good the grooves were. We worked good on the bottom and the high side. And very racy racetrack.
Yeah, and there was some three wide racing going into one. The 33 cars, though, I mean, you guys caught up to lap traffic really quick. The guys in the back, though, really gave you all a lot of racing room.
Yeah, they respected it a lot that we were coming through, and the only incident I saw that even affected that was Barber's pile up, and he has had some bad racing luck there. And wish he could have done better. He was fast. He would have been in some major competition for
him. I think if it had come down to the end, it had probably been you, Barber, and Steele for the run for the top.
Yeah.
Well, that was one of the comments I was hearing in the stands about you, Jacob. People were saying that they felt you had a very fast car Saturday night. And they were just so impressed that this fast car was being driven by a 17-year-old.
Jacob, let's get down to brass tacks. You going to win at Orlando?
I'm going to try. I have a good shot. I don't have a chance with the 50,000 because we're not going to run a midget. But I'm going to try pretty hard. Last year I heard there wasn't a lot of passing, but we're going to try to get her hooked up on the high side and try to go for the front if we can't qualify good.
Just don't get so close to that wall.
That's the spirit, man. That's yeah. What we wanted to hear.
Yeah, Jack French was telling me the easiest cars to pass are the ones that you get in qualifying.
There you go. Tell me about what did you think about that 360 taking the pole for that race?
Oh, that was crazy. His qualifying lap, I didn't see it coming, and he stuck it coming off four, and it just launched to the start-finish line, and I was a little bit surprised, but it was a good lap.
Now, some people were telling me that a 360 might have a little advantage over a 410 on that track.
Oh, the way ours was hooked up coming off the corners, I think once we might have pulled both front wheels off the ground. So, yeah, I can see if it was a real slippery track, maybe, but last Saturday, I don't think so.
I'll tell you what, when I walked out on that track after the race was over, I almost lost the shoe. It was so sticky out there.
Yeah, it was. Like I said, we were just hooked up. It worked awesome.
Now, I saw you after the race. I talked to you after the race. You looked fairly wore out. Did you do any conditioning before that race?
Oh, tried to do a little bit, but I think next year and before the Little 500, if we can find us a ride for it, we have to do a little bit more, maybe go to the weight room or something.
Yeah, okay, the weight room.
The weight room.
Yeah, well, we were asking, I think Rick asked Bobby Santos that very question, and he was talking, he probably needs to do that, too.
Well, it has to take a lot of physical and mental preparation to do the 400 laps.
This is a young man. He can handle it.
Did you find any problem on focusing?
Oh, I think my only lack of was when I tried to bounce off the outside wall there. But other than that, I had a pretty good time out there. I never really, the lap traffic helped out a lot. You're always busy thinking about something.
Mm-hmm. So how long has it taken you to come down from the high of that race, or are you still pretty much up there?
Oh, we still haven't. Me and my family are talking about moves we made every night, and we're at Captain Jack Noling's right now over in Gibsonton, and him and Joe Conroy, we've been talking ever since.
Boy.
Just having a great time.
Oh, good.
Sprint car world right there, Gibtown.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's sprint car world. So, what are you looking at next year after this whole deal's over in Orlando and the holidays? What do you got planned for next year?
Oh, trying to find a ride in something. We have our family-owned PRA car, but we're not sure what they're going to do with those, and maybe I'm not sure what we can do yet. We'd love to run a sprint car and a midget for the Nationals and run the little 500 and the 4 to 400 again, maybe some of the other races like that.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, your name is out there now.
Yeah, no doubt.
No doubt about it.
Good deal, man. We look forward to seeing you at Orlando Speed World on Friday night. Should be fun.
Yep.
Anybody you want to thank, Jacob, before we let you go?
Yeah, all the guys at Fatheads.com and the Fathead Sunglasses and Rico, he helps us out a bunch with this ride. And Jetstar and Daryl Gaducci, Cartshirts.com and Jeff Jamming in Storage. And my mom and dad, they helped out in the pits. We had a 4-man pit crew, and that helped out quite a bit. We kicked some butt in the pits. Almost could have beat Dave Steele, but...
Y'all were nose to tail coming out of the pits that one run.
Yep, and my brother Clinton again, he prepared the car by himself. Jack kind of aimed him in the right direction, but Clint had the car, not a bolt fell off, but I was really impressed with that.
Well, Jacob, while you're up there with Captain Jack and all them people around East Bay, you need to get a car lined up for the Winter Nationals, man. Come show some stuff.
I haven't ran dirt yet, but would like to, I guess.
I think you'd take it. You'd take to it, no problem.
Well, I'd like to thank you guys.
Hey, man, appreciate it. We'll see you in Orlando. Have a good time.
Look forward to watching you race again sometime, Jacob.
Oh, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot, Jacob.
Thank you. Have a nice night.
All right, good night.
Jacob Wilson.
Yeah, he's a talker, man.
He's going somewhere.
I tell you what, the first thing he said in the Winner's Circle interview was, I think I could have beat him if I didn't hit the wall.
Yep.
When you're saying that about Dave Steele, you're saying something.
Push the clutch in, Rick. We're changing gears.
Let's shift gears.
All right. As expected, we're going to be talking to Augie Grill, winner of the 2007 Snowball Derby here in just a few minutes. But as expected, Ron Varney, from the president of the ASA Late Model Series, has issued a response to the public release earlier today from Mr. Huth. Wow. So Dennis Huth has sued the ASA Late Model Series and Ron Varney over trademarks.
Right.
The ASA trademarks. And Ron Varney, among other things, says that he fully expects to win in court and also countersue Mr. Huth for damages caused by his reckless and slanderous allegations. And he says further that while this news may be upsetting to some, he says, let me assure you, everyone, that Mr. Huth and his associates cannot take our name, which is the ASA Late Model Series,
right,
nor our business, which is the ASA Late Model Series LLC, away from us. We are, in fact, pursuing facts related to Mr. Huth's claims of ownership to all things ASA, including the American Speed Association. He says, we plan to present evidence that will show Steve Dale never fulfilled his contract to purchase the American Speed Association from Rex Robbins. That's the family that owned it forever.
Right.
And that several judgments have been placed against Steve Dale relating to that. I told you Steve Dale was going to pop up here, huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The ASA Late Model Series LLC was formed by Steve Dale and Ron Varney as a separate business and was not a part of the American Speed Association.
Well, you know, we knew all that already.
Yeah, well, that's what they say, so I guess it's going to take a judge to sort it out.
We even knew the Steve Dale and Robbins deal. Now, Rex Robbins isn't around anymore, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is he?
Two families. I don't know who's representing the whole deal, which family members involved, but you know, that's the deal.
Well, hopefully this just won't be a long, drawn out, you can't race, we can't race, they can't race.
It's a two-car race right now.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about held up in courts that neither one of them can hit the track until it's finalized.
Yeah, it'd be like black flagging them both, you mean.
Right, that's what I'm seeing. It's probably going to happen.
Man.
Because this seems very, very convoluted, and like I said, we knew all this stuff already. Just couldn't say anything. Well, we were wondering which one would be the first one to bring it out.
Wow.
The thing that I see, though, I mean, where's the dirty laundry that Hoost is laying out there? I haven't seen that yet. All I saw was that one press release. Is there more?
Well, no, he had made a comment in that press release. I think I'm assuming that that is a reference to, well, I don't know. Maybe I misread it. I was assuming that that was in reference to the statements about accusing Ron Varney of making threatening owners and whatnot that was in the release that was made today by Dennis Huth.
But we've talked to both of them, and they're both
great guys,
and they both seem like they
dedicated
to the game. Both want to see it endure and continue, but this is not good.
We need a summit meeting.
Yeah, we
Don Nerone. Hey, go handle this problem, Don.
Go help him. Go help him, Don.
We'll be right back with. As soon as we can find the right buttons to push. We got a public service announcement again.
And another PSA?
Another PSA. You may have heard it before, but you'll hear it again.
From Dennis Huth?
No. We're not playing that one tonight.
Oh, okay.
We're playing one from Dick Anderson. We'll be right back with Augie Grill.
All right.
What all of these racers don't understand is we all need to be part-time promoters.
Yeah.
We all need to promote our sport and promote our racetrack. And every other racer I talk to is trying to run his racetrack into the ground and bitching and complaining about everything and bitching and complaining about to everybody that'll listen to him. Well, you know, to me, this has got a negative effect. That's going to come back and hurt you when all at once you don't even have that racetrack there to race at.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if all the racers would go out and try to promote their racetrack and their sport a little bit more, I'm telling you what, we you'd see a whole lot more racetracks that are open and staying open. And it's like I say, maybe I'm getting old. I don't know.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from The Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and a new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call The Brakeman. On the web at TheBrakeman.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane. Only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet.
You've given us the real American dream. A tray, 15 feet of food, and a little sign that says, "Go nuts, buddy."
Well, pinch me, I'm dreaming.
Pushing side dish innovation to its limits, you offer creamed everything and 400 flavors of gelatin.
Feed it frenzy.
If there's beef, you'll chip it. If there's chicken, you'll fry it. And if there's gravy, well, then everything's going to be okay.
Thank God for the gravy.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Buffet Boy. You know the way to a man's heart. and a few hundred tasty ways to challenge it.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, Fort Collins, Colorado.
We are back, Rick.
We're back. Real Racing USA Live here at the Real Racing USA Studios.
Floor 7.
Jack.
I got to get used to this floor 7.
Yeah. It's not a well-used button.
There was 10,000 people there, Rick.
10,000.
They sent NASCAR veteran stars home because they couldn't make the race. And Augie Grill took it all, and he's with us. Welcome to Real Racing USA, Augie.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Augie, what was it like to finally hoist that trophy up over your head?
It was pretty amazing. I don't know. I've talked to everybody about it. That's the pinnacle of our kind of racing, short track racing. That's the biggest race there is. That's our Daytona 500.
You got it.
It means a lot.
Yeah, Jack and I were talking about that earlier, and you know, like there's Nashville, there's Milwaukee, but there's only one Pensacola and one Snowball Derby.
That's very true, and it's very unique in its own way, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. That's for sure.
Now you crew chiefed a winning team. You crew chiefed for Wayne Anderson, but man, wheeling that car across that start finish line has got to be a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, it is. I've talked to people about that too since Sunday. You know, being a crew chief, all you do is work on the car. Once the car's on the track, it's out of your hands. But you know, driving the car and having people work on it for you, it just, you know, once the race starts, you know, the load's 95% on your shoulders, 90%, whatever it might be. And to, you know, come out of a race like that on top, I don't know how it could get any better than that.
How many times have you been there to try to win that race?
That's my third try at the Snowball. I've run probably 10 or 12 Blizzard Series races down there, which are five races a year they have during the year. But that's my third try at the Snowball.
Augie, give us a little brief synopsis of the race.
Well, the race started. I wasn't too happy with my car. It wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. Just kind of rode along there. The first set of tires, I don't know why, just wasn't up to par. And I think we got up to six before the first pit stop. And after that first pit stop, it was like a different car. I mean, it just came to life. And I think I got up to second before the next pit stop and behind Matt Hawkins. And before the very last pit stop, I was leading. So, I mean, the thing just got better and better as the day progressed. And lucky for us, luck was on our side, and we were able to finish the race.
Now, was it tires? Was it adjustments? What made the car come alive for you?
I don't know if the first set of tires was just not matched well or had one tire that just wasn't very good or what the deal was. About all we did the whole race was the first pit stop, we started the right rear air pressure a little lower than the right front. And as far as I know, that's the only change we made the whole race, and that was all it took. I think the cooler weather is probably why the thing got better and better. But probably everybody else did too, but I just noticed my car getting better and better as the race progressed. And the last run, I mean, that was by far the best it had been.
Now tell everybody out there how important tires are on that racetrack.
Oh, tires are 150% of how you do. I don't know. The start of the race there, I was kind of riding, but trying to be patiently aggressive, I guess is what you'd say. You know, just taking passes as I could get them and this, that, and other. But you can run hard for 10 laps, and the next 50, you'll be getting out because you can't keep up. You got to take your time that place. It's very hard on tires, very abrasive. You can walk across it on foot, lean over and grab it with your hand, and it hurts because it's so abrasive. But tires are definitely the ball game there.
Right. And the other thing that they're really hard on up there is tech. Tech is number one priority at the Snowball Derby, isn't it?
Definitely. They're definitely harder than you'll find anywhere else. And I'd like to say they're biased, but they're not. I've actually been thrown out of two races there this year. once for a valve angle issue we had, and once for a carburetor issue. And, you know, they were borderline, but they wasn't exactly how they wanted to have them, or that, how they wanted to be for them, for them to be. And, I mean, I got thrown out for it. And I would say over the snowball weekend, they probably all together probably threw out 20 cars or 20 people, you know, counting the local stuff and everything. And, you know, they're just making a precedent. You got to be right to race there.
And they obviously didn't show any favoritism to anybody.
Definitely not. I know that I probably shouldn't even say this on radio, but when they announced after the last chance races that Stephen Wallace and Kyle Busch had been thrown out, the crowd there just went wild. It was like they loved that they weren't going to be in the race, because the Pensacola fans are very true to their drivers. I mean, I'd say they're probably the best fans in the United States.
Augie, I'm a media guy. I'm not supposed to be in favorites or have favorites or anything, but I got to be honest with you. I'm down here watching this stuff back and forth on my computer, getting updates and stuff, and when I found that out, it made my day. I'm the same way.
I appreciate that.
I mean, I'm the same way. It's like, to me, it was like, you know, because I want to see guys like you and, you know, Jeff Choquette, Mike Fritz, and, you know, Anderson get out there and, you know, and do it. And the only thing I didn't like about them not making it is so they could get out raced, because I think they would.
Yeah, I agree. That I've never cared much for, I guess you call them superstars, coming in to short track racing and outrunning everybody, because I just don't think that's fair. That's kind of like Cup drivers running Busch. You know,
right.
It's just not fair to me. But, yeah, I agree. I think if they would have ran the race, they would have got outrun pretty bad.
Yeah, because you had seven. It was pretty. There's a couple of things I was looking at. I mean, you've been, with your background in this game, I mean, obviously you're not going to be in awe of guys, but, I mean, you got Bobby Gill and Gary St. Amant and Dave Mader the third. I mean, it's just the list goes on and on. And then to have 17 cars finish on the lead lap, 300 lap race, 39 cars, that's just
unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
17 cars on the lead lap at Pensacola.
Following you.
Yeah. And I'm glad of that. That's kind of hard to believe. I remember going, even when I think Wayne Anderson won it driving our car in 01, there might have been 7 or 8 cars on the lead lap. It's just the level of competition in short track racing has definitely raised the bar. It's getting harder and harder every race to be on top. And luckily this race we were on top, but, you know, it could change all the next race.
Now, Augie, isn't it amazing how late models have made such a fantastic comeback in stock car racing?
Yes, and I'd like to see them make even a greater one, but it's hard for that to happen because there's no traveling series anymore. You know, like Pensacola Mobile and Op, they've all got their own little series, and it's hard, I guess, for a promoter to just want to, out of the blue, to start up a series, which I wish they'd do.
Like the Southern All-Stars used to be or something like that?
Right, exactly. Something like that, but come up with a common motor rule and a few other rules here and there, and I think they would have a following. It might take a year, it might take 2 years, but it would eventually be a very good thing, and I would sure like to see that sometime in the near future.
And all that kind of started fading away when NASCAR took over All Pro, I think.
Yeah, I think all they did was they wanted to eliminate the competition. They let that thing die slow death, and I really hated to see that, because we ran All Pro for my dad before I had anything to do with race cars, other than just being around at the shop. My dad ran that stuff for years and years and years. And, once NASCAR got it, they just let it die slow death.
Yeah, so besides the money and the trophy and the feel-good and all that, what are some of the residuals of winning this the snowball?
Hopefully get a little more business. Hopefully be able to sell a few more cars over the winter. And I don't know. Other than that, really none, I'll guess. I'm sure you guys know it, but me and my dad own a company, Grand American Race Cars, and we had 2 of the top 5 Sunday and 3 of the top 5 Saturday night. So we have a pretty good piece for Pensacola anyway.
Yeah,
people know of you, man.
Yeah, they've heard of the grill name.
my dad's been around for years. Well, since the early 70s, I believe. So I would hope we have a name.
Yeah. So now, what's racing? Just as an aside here, what's racing like these days? You know, up in Alabama and up in that area.
Really, it's not where I'd like it to be. Some races you go to, you know, there'll be 30 cars, and some you go to, there'll be 12 or 14. I remember back in the days in the late 80s, early 90s, any race you went to, super late model wise, I mean, you were having 30 or 40 cars, and I hate to see that decline. And the upbringing of the pro late model series, or, you know, two barrel crate motor stuff, that is really pretty hurting on super late model race. And I wish there was some way they could recombine the two and run, you know, one class rather than having it all split up. But I don't think it'll happen because at the Snowball, there was more pro late model cars than there were supers. So
now is possibly one of the problems. I have a friend that races a super, and he's always talking to me about the cost involved of having the vehicle. Do you see that as one of the problems? Because a lot of drivers have a problem getting sponsors. Is that holding a lot of guys back from going into racing the supers?
Oh, racing in particular, yes, but the racers that are already here, it doesn't matter if we're racing pro late model motors, you know, crate motors, it doesn't matter if we're putting airplane motors in them. Racers are gonna race. I mean, every time somebody tries to come up with some kind of way for us to save money, we wind up spending more money. I guess we're retarded. It always seems that way. I mean, that was the inception of the crate motor, was to save everybody more money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we wind up finding ways to spend more money on the crate motor to make it more competitive. And that's just the racer instinct. We're going to spend more money whether we have to or not.
Well, you know, one you said earlier, and this, I think this is a good thing for the whole deal, is how competitive it is getting now. I think that's a great thing because the fans love it, and it's causing more interest from the fans. I mean,
how definitely
when you go to even if it's a 20-25 cars in a race, if there's, you know, 10 people or 12 people in that race who can win it, as opposed to one or two, that's a good thing, you know?
Oh, definitely. And it's like the Snowball. You know, the race starts, there's 39 cars that could possibly win the race. And, you know, by halfway, you can kind of narrow it down to maybe 15 to 20. And then by 50 to go, you know, there's going to be a handful of cars that's going to win the race. But, I mean, the competition is definitely there in late model racing. Probably more so than Cup or Busch, in my opinion. Because, you know, like the Snowball, like I said, 39 cars could have won the race, but the like any Cup race, there's going to be five or six cars that's going to win the race, and that's pretty much it.
That's it. Yeah, that's no doubt about it. Augie, how do you feel about the youth movement in the late model ranks?
Hit a nerve, Rick.
I think so.
Yeah, it's a good thing, I guess.
He's got to get his PR right here. Go ahead, Augie, suck it up for a minute. Take a deep breath, man. It's okay.
I would like to say that I agree with it. I like to see it, but under the same token, I don't like it because, you know, you're racing with a 15, 16-year-old. You know, they might happen to wreck you or somebody else. Not that you're going to go whoop their butt or anything, but you can't really talk to them. I mean, it wouldn't do any good for just to go up to them and say, "Hey, you wrecked me. What are we going to do about it?" Now, it's kind of a waste of time to try to talk to a 15-year-old kid about, you know, what they might have done on the racetrack.
But at the same time, these young drivers would learn so much. Okay, the mom in me is coming out of this, but they would learn so much, you know, talking to the veteran drivers and learning from you, you know, if you point out some of the errors of their way.
I don't think Augie's talking about talking.
Well, the only thing I think about, y'all talk about younger drivers, is I remember I believe it was a Busch race at Bristol a few years back when Shane Mill was, I think it was his second try at it. and him and Dale Jarrett got together, and Dale Jarrett came up to his window and, you know, expressed his concerns, and then Shane Mill, as he walked off, shot him a bird. That's the feeling I have with young kids.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's Bobby Gill or whoever it is that they might have wrecked or had a problem with, they don't have any respect. And I hate to say that, but that's kind of what I see. And, you know, most of the kids now, they're coming up through Legends cars or, you know, Bandoleros or whatever, and that stuff, you pretty much come to somebody to get by them, and they're learning the wrong things, I believe, too young.
Well, I'll tell you, if they're not showing you respect, I think part of the problem there, of course, is going to goes back to the parents. Yep. And the people that are helping them in racing and guiding them. And, you know, and that's a problem that needs to be addressed, because that's not good sportsmanship.
Exactly. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. But I don't know what you do about it, because, you know, everybody's wanting a young, new talent. So, you know, all these parents with a little bit of money, they're going to sink everything they got into their 12, 13, 14-year-old son
mm-hmm.
or daughter to try to make something out of them. And that's, I mean, I guess we're just going to have to get used to it. That's what we're going to see in the near future.
I don't know. Maybe we'll have to have some seminars somewhere and gather up all the youngins and
take them behind the trailer with Gary Wayne and Bobby.
I'll be a talker at it.
That's funny. That's good stuff.
Go get yourself a Switch, son.
There you go.
Your candor is refreshing, Augie, I have to say.
But. Well, I appreciate that.
Augie, I noticed a little bit of damage on the front end of your car in the winner's circle picture. What happened there?
About 55, 60 laps into it, I believe. I was sixth or seventh, right in there somewhere. And I was nose to tail with the top five or six. However many cars were in front of me, we were nose to tail. And there happened to be a lap car involved. And I don't know, they got together or something. I couldn't actually see around that far to exactly what happened, but everybody checked up, and I happened to be the poor soul that ran in the back of another car. And it mashed the front bumper in and the hood pin bar down, and that wasn't too bad. And then the exact same thing happened halfway through it, and this time it got the hood to where it was raising up down the straightaway probably 4 or 5 inches, and luckily it wasn't high enough to where I couldn't see over it. It was impeding my vision a little bit, but not bad enough to have to really do something about it, because we knew if we had to take extra time on a pit stop, that was probably going to ruin our chances at any kind of really good run. So we just let it fly, and luckily it didn't hurt us too bad.
Now, when I saw that picture, it reminded me of a picture I saw of you in the winner's circle at the Rattler.
Yeah, that was a completely different deal down there. Yeah, luckily this wasn't quite as bad. We put a nose and a bumper bar on it and go to the next race. After the Rattler, we had to about build a complete new car.
Tell us a little bit about the race, the Rattler.
It was a good race. I assume you're talking about the race this year, the Rattler.
Right.
It was a good race. We didn't have the qualifying run we'd expected, just like the Snowball. And I don't know, it took us about halfway through it to get up to the front and lead it, and left it from like lap 50, 150 to 242 or 244, whatever it was. And Hunter came in not long before that and got right, and he was a little bit better on restarts, but my car, once we got going 3 or 4 or 5 laps, it was a little bit better than him. But there toward the end, they had restart after restart after restart, and he was able to get in the corner and bump me, basically, and move me up a little bit and get by me. And I guess that's when my anger management problems came in, and I pretty much decided he moved me, so if I can get back to him, I'm going to move him. And that's kind of what happened. We ran into three on the last lap, and I was able to get to him just enough to touch him to move him up just like he did me. And we started up all four, and he basically just turned left into my right rear quarter and sent me flying, and you guys saw the results.
Right. Yeah, but Augie, what a year, man. Ended up with the Snowball Derby. What's in the future for Augie Grill?
Pretty much the same thing as this year, I guess. We'll just kind of pick and choose races, probably run all the Blizzard races. all the series races at Mobile, and just kind of pick and choose. We stay busy enough with the Grand American to not be able to race as much as we'd like, but that's fine. I mean, we'll deal with that. We just hope that we can keep being competitive everywhere we go and be fast, and that's all we can ask for.
Well, Augie, it's been a pleasure talking to you, brother. Congratulations on the Snowball Derby win.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Are you going to be in have any involvement in Lakeland?
We're tossing that around. We got some people that we think might be able to help us a little bit to go down there, and if that comes through with them, yes, we'll definitely go. But we're just not sure yet, so we'll leave it be for the time being, and hopefully we can go.
All right, let's end with a plug for that business again, man. You deserve it.
All right, it's Grand American Race Cars, GARC, better known, in Dolomite, Alabama. Number is 205-744-5950. And I would like to give my wife a shout-out. I know she's listening on computer, Courtney Grill, and my son, Owen. I love them, and I'm glad they're able to be here with me.
Thanks, Augie.
Well, I hope you and your family have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you, ma'am. Y'all too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Augie Grill, the winner of the Snowball Derby. I mean, you know, we've got the Governor's Cup, which is kind of our race.
It's a race for people in Florida. Yeah.
Right. Snowball is national.
Big time.
It's big time.
I mean, you know, Clay Rogers, I guess this is where they started, right, in parentheses.
Uh-huh.
Clay Rogers, you know, and you know Clay. And
yeah.
Clay's one of
the... Oh, he started dead last.
Started
dead last. Had problems with the car or something. I'm not sure. I read something about that. Yeah. Well, that's Clay Rogers, man.
That's unreal. You'd love watching that guy run a car, man. Just love it. Well, we've been having some issues. I don't know what the problem is tonight, but we've been having some rather interrupted streams here. We've been having some problem with our streaming for some reason tonight. We'll have to dig into the guts and innards and figure out what's the heck going on. So we were talking about young folks racing there.
Right.
Well, let's go talk to one here in a minute.
Okay.
Let me see if I can round up Bruce Hibbs Jr.
So let me ask you, Cece, where did your racing experience start? How long has it been?
I actually ended up doing a live broadcast several times from out the Charlotte County Motorsports Park when they were involved in different things with Kicks Country.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hang out afterwards after I was done and watch races. And people started coming up and talking to me because they know me on the radio. And I started meeting a lot of drivers and their families. And I just started going back and hanging out and getting more involved in promoting the track on air.
Right.
And then, you know, started giving away tickets all the time for them. And going myself every Saturday night. I was fortunate enough, as I talked to more and more car owners and drivers, that one Friday night I got the call from an owner down in Cape Coral of a Fab Four saying, "Hey, tomorrow night, you know, you get to drive my car." And I was like, what? Oh, okay. And did it. And it was exciting and terrifying all at the same time. Had a great time. Didn't wreck it. Didn't hit anybody. So it was a great experience. But I've now made a lot of great friends who are drivers. I like to go and hang out in the pits. And that's really started. It's probably going on almost 2 years now that I've been going. And it's been always at Charlotte County until last Saturday when I went up to DeSoto, and this Saturday I'm making my way up to East Bay, and I'm
slowly
really looking forward to it.
Moving north. We're slowly getting you there.
I'm going for new experiences and looking forward to it.
We got Lakeland coming up, so be prepared.
Okay.
Jack, who we got on the line with us, brother?
We have Bruce Hibbs Jr. with us, so welcome to Real Racing USA Live, Bruce.
Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, it's a pleasure being on your show.
So, Bruce, you're up in the Carolinas these days, right? That's where you are?
Yes.
And you're part of a race team that your dad and some other folks put together to try to move up the ladder. Tell us a little bit about your racing deal, man.
Yeah, my dad and a guy by the name of PJ Long and a guy by the name of Greg Hackenbrough, They all three started a team up by themselves. Greg's son, he races too, so he's kind of going underneath my wing, and I'm kind of helping him on track stuff and with the driving and everything. And so it's just a good team for us to work together. And he's going to be running some Busch East while I'm running some ARCA shows this year. With me and him together, I think that we can be a pretty good dynasty.
So, now you have open wheel experience. Tell us a little bit about that too.
I did some sprint car stuff. I did a lot of sprint car stuff in Pennsylvania and Delaware. I won the CFC Rookie of the Year. Mario Andretti came down and gave me the award, and it was a great deal for that. I actually beat Mario Andretti out. He won it when he was 18, and I won it when I was 15, so that was a pretty cool deal. And I also ran last year. I won the National Rookie of the Year for Delaware, and I also won the Nationals in Delaware also.
Now, what kind of cars are those? What are those cars like?
They're sprint cars, 358 sprint cars.
Okay.
They're open wheel, and I did some 410 stuff and some 600 micros, and I also did some IndyCar stuff here recently, some Formula 2000 in Wisconsin, Elkhart Lake, by a track by Road America, and I did some of that stuff, my first time ever in an open wheel IndyCar, and I went out for my first race ever, and I won against all the guys that have been doing it there. I mean, they had guys in there from all kinds of different countries, and I'm the only American that came in there to do it. And so they were kind of surprised about that. And then the second day, I went out there and finished second. So,
how old are you?
16 years old.
Impressive.
Very impressive.
So, do you like... But your love is stock cars, I get.
Yes, my love is stock cars, but I did like the Indy cars. I mean, that was a really good experience for me. The Indy cars, they handle really good, with the stock cars, they're kind of like you're pushing a big dinosaur around the track. So the Indy cars, I mean, they turn on a dime. When you're making a 90-degree left-hand turn at 100 miles an hour and you snatch the wheel to the left, I mean, it's going to go to the left.
Sounds like them Indy cars impressed you.
Yeah, the mini cars, they're no joke. They're
real deal.
They're awesome cars to drive.
So where did Bruce Hibbs start racing?
I started racing when I was 3 years old. My dad actually raced in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And
three? Did you say?
Oh yeah.
Did you say three? Okay.
So, my dad he raced in La Crosse, Wisconsin. At La Crosse Fairground Speedway, and all the drivers, of course, they had all sons. Well, I was the youngest there, and they decided they were going to start a go-kart track or a go-kart thing for the kids there, and started in that, and I won my first ever race in those. So, I mean, I've just been winning since.
I just got one question. I've always wondered this. These younger drivers, when you start off young and you have all this experience behind a wheel, when you actually turn 16 and get your driver's license and you're out on the road, is there a part of your brain that you just sort of have to control and not drive like you do on the track, you know, to obey the speed limit? Because I would think all your experience has been going fast and left and being able to sort of like be really in control and not have to worry about speed limits. Is there a transition that you have to make?
Not really, because, I mean, of course, it's the law. You don't want to go and break any laws. But, of course, I mean, you want to go fast. I mean, I got a fast car. I got a fast truck. And so you don't want to break any laws. But at the same time, yeah, you want to go fast.
You don't want to bump draft anybody coming off the interstate, right?
I was going to say, now be honest. When you're out and your buddies are in the car with you and it's, you know, at night out maybe on a back road, are you tempted just to show off a little bit?
You are trying to get this young man in trouble.
No, I'm not. Let's be honest. Come on. Even though I'm not a race car driver, I can remember being 16 and and being tempted to be out there and having fun.
They all come to my races, so.
So you get it out of your system on the track. Okay.
Yeah, they all feed on the track, so.
So, from your perspective, how hard is it? I mean, how hard is it to get up this ladder in the stock car world? I mean, everybody who starts out, I mean, they want to go all the way to Nextel Cup, or you know what I mean? And is that what you have in mind, and how hard is that?
Well, of course, everybody's got it in mind to go Nextel Cup racing. I mean, Nextel Cup is the best of the best. There's nothing less but the best. And everybody has it in mind. They want to go Nextel Cup. Well, it's really, really, really hard. You got to have everything together. You got to be marketable. You got to be able to drive right. You got to have a clean record. It's really, really tough as you're coming up as a kid because, you know, most kids out there are doing what kids do, you know, getting into trouble and, you know, all that. And it's kind of tough because, at the same time, you want to do that stuff, but, you know, you got to look forward to your future, and that's what I've just been focusing on all my life is my future, so.
What would you say to, because, you know, we ask, this topic comes up all the time because, you know, like on our shows that we do and talk to drivers around the country and whatnot, the subject of, you know, you have guys that, men that have been racing for a long, long time, and they're in their 40s or 50s, or guys that even in their 30s, you know. And then you have a lot of even 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old racing against them. And sometimes we get, you know, where the older guys feel that some of the young guys don't have the respect that they should for the other racers on the track, you know, and things like that. How do you see that from your perspective?
Well, I just think as respect goes, it's all in with the driver. If the driver's aggressive or if the driver's a really good driver. And but as far as age-wise, I think that the newer group is coming up. I think that the older group, the older age people are fading out. But at the same time, the younger kids are all learning from the older people and making them better because them guys that are 40 years old, they have 20 years of racing experience, 30 years of racing experience. And us, we're coming in, we can learn right off the bat, right from them.
So. Yeah, but see, the thing that we talk to, you know, the youth and we talk to the older drivers, and the thing that we really get from the older drivers is like, say you're going into turn one and you give him a bump and he goes up to the wall. They look at that as they're not getting the respect they deserve. How do you feel that about that?
I feel that if you're going into any corner and younger driver gives them a bump or anybody gives them a bump, I think that's dirty driving. I don't think that's the way to drive. I think if you're fast, you can pass them clean. Doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter where you're passing them. If you're fast, you're faster. You can pass them clean.
So respect doesn't come into the matter, no matter it's racing onto the track.
Right.
Well, and how would you feel if one of these older, more experienced drivers wanted to approach you after a race and talk to you about your performance on the track? Maybe they, you know, weren't happy with something that you did out there. Would you have a problem with them come talking to you about that?
I've had them do it before about on-track incidents, and you just sit there and you just listen to them, and you just go on. It's not worth fighting over it or nothing. You just got to be the bigger man than what they are, and just go on and just learn from your mistakes or learn from their mistakes. So.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a good answer to me.
Me too.
I think he's got the right attitude.
Yeah, because that is this is something that we hear all the time. It's a, you know, it's
a two sided fence.
It's a, yeah, and you know,
sometimes three sided.
Racing has completely changed. Stock car racing, especially at the local level and at the series, the traveling series level, has changed over the last 10 years drastically. I mean, you know, if you go back 10 years ago, it was absolutely rare to see somebody 14 years old in a stock car. Now it's commonplace, you know what I mean? And the game has changed a little bit and changed a lot. And guys like you are changing the game, hopefully, I think, for the better. What are you – you mentioned that when we got started here about ARCA.
Yes. Next year, actually, we just moved all our cars into the shop today. We're going to be running as scheduled right now. We're going to be running 10 ARCA races. And our first race is going to be Lakeland, right after Daytona. And then we're going to run selected Busch East races. One of them is going to be Dover. So,
yeah. Have you been to Lakeland?
I've never been to Lakeland.
Yeah, you'll love it. 3/4 mile, lots of room.
Paperclip.
Fast. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that there's a lot of door slamming, side by side racing there.
Oh yeah.
Oh, can be. It can be. It's a great place for fans. I know that. And the drivers in Florida all love it, obviously. I mean, they love to go there and race.
Hey, Bruce, if people want more information about you, do you got a website?
Oh, yeah. You can go to HL Motorsports. That's my dad's team. Or you can go to www.brucehaveyjr.com.
All right, Bruce. It's been great talking to you, man.
And you know, and Bruce, we didn't. We'll have you back again next year in the beginning of the year. But because when we bring you back, we want to talk a lot more about the marketing aspect of this. Because I know that's something that you focus on a lot. Your team focuses on a lot. Your dad focuses on a lot. And you know, I know that you know the value of it. And when you come back, we'll talk about that kind of stuff a lot more. Okay.
Yeah, marketing's everything in this game, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for being with us tonight, man, and we'll talk to you soon. Probably see you up there at Lakeland, as a matter of fact.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, hopefully. All right,
so. All right, Bruce, good night.
Being on your show.
Bye. Right.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, 3.5 years old.
Brutal.
That's amazing.
You got kids, right? You got kids?
I have a 16-year-old son, yeah.
I've got 3 kids. They're all grown up. But I remember when they were 3 years old.
Oh, I remember when my son was 3. There was no way.
So who in the pit crew changes the diaper?
At 3, there's no diaper. But, no, I'm always amazed when I'm watching races and they, you know, the announcer says, you know, there's a 12-year-old. And right. I think my son, when he was 12, I would have never let him do that.
I remember B.J. McLeod.
Uh-huh.
His dad.
He was a phenomenon.
When he was like 3.5 or 4 years old. His dad was teaching him how to drive a semi.
A semi?
Yes.
Wow.
Now, he hadn't raced yet.
When he came to DeSoto at
12
years old.
He was smoking
in the 3/4 late models. He was running 3/4 late models.
For Florida, he was the ultimate young driver.
He was the phenom.
Yeah. Wow.
He was actually the guy, in my opinion, who's in Florida, who started.
Yeah.
The whole youth.
Oh, yeah.
Thing.
The whole youth.
He was the first one, you know?
Yeah. Now he's a veteran.
Now he's a wily old veteran.
Yeah.
You know? Walks around like Jimmy Cope.
Yeah.
Hey,
time's flying here.
Did you just say that B.J. McLeod is compared to Jimmy Cope?
Well, they kind of, I could see like 10 years from now.
Yeah.
You know, there's a merge going on here, you know?
Huh. I'll have to talk to BJ about that.
Yeah, think about it. Yeah. Think about it. We'll be right back.
All right.
We're going to come back with one of the funniest, most exciting guys, Orlando Speed World's Rusty Marcus, where it's all happening Friday night.
2 years ago, promoter of the year.
That's right. And we do have a public service announcement coming up from Dennis Hoot.
The one thing that I have found at least through my years, is that no different than what you guys talked about, no different than what I've been talking about or anybody else talks about. We've got to self-support our sport and not talk, you know, yes, we can have problems, we can have complaints, we can have, you know, officials we know are going to make a few mistakes and so are drivers, and there's only going to be one winner. But to generate our sport, I think we're going to have to continue talking positively about it and not necessarily turning off that new fan, because that new fan is a new generation that liked computers. And you know, maybe they're not out working on their own car. They're taking it to Jiffy Lube, not changing the oil like we did, or, you know, or anything like that. So I guess my soapbox would be, internally, I think all of us, no matter how upset we may become, we need to keep pushing our sport and making it a positive tone.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Dishonest Cable TV Hooker Upper.
Mr. Dishonest Cable TV Hooker Upper.
On any given day, somewhere between 9 and 4:30, you arrive ready to bring us the world. And for an extra 20, you'll bring us porn.
Naughty, naughty boy.
Hey, you've already got the van and the jumpsuit. Why not get into criminal activity?
Just a naughty boy.
After all, what are they going to do? Throw you in cable jail?
I don't think so.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, manhandler of the Scrambler, because isn't it about time someone hooked you up?
Mr. Desiris, cable TV hooker up.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Well, Cece, what do you think of your first night up here on the 7th floor?
I'm having a good time.
Yeah, you're doing a great job.
Thank you for letting me hang out with you guys tonight.
That's fine, but somebody just broke in the damn studio.
Did they?
I think so. There's an intruder.
Grab the baseball bat.
Marcus, is that you?
He's sleeping.
Hey, Rusty, wake up, man. It's time.
You wore me out with the beginning, and I kind of got lost.
Rusty Marcus, promoter up at the Orlando Speed World, the scene of the crime this Friday night.
Oh, boy, and is it ever going to be. It is. There is so much excitement going into this, you would not believe it.
You got your wardrobe laid out?
Wardrobe? I hadn't even been home in the last 2 days. I've been here trying to get things ready because, I mean, the people from PRI are just, they're such, it's amazing working with them because when they come to put on a show, they want a show, and that's what their main goal is so that everybody's happy, that we have a good quality show. And I mean, they've been here since Monday, putting up all kinds of new signage, all kinds of different things. They decorate the place up for their event. And we've been trying to get things squared away. And I think everybody will be really happy whenever they get here. We've been working our butts off. I got little Mark Keebler. I mean, Keeler.
You had it right. You had it right.
He's still here with me tonight, and I got a little mud flap here with me tonight, and we're about to close it up and go home and get ready for it all over tomorrow because they started bringing the cars in. There's already cars lined up out front. It's just.
You don't let Jane Smith go home, do you?
Who's that?
Rusty.
No, she's been in the office all day today taking care of the phone calls, and the phone's been ringing off the hook for the PRI show and for the winter series and. She's had her hands full with all that.
Yeah, besides all that, what kind of excitement are you going to have?
Oh, you know what? I don't know how you could have any more excitement. I mean, this is kind of like the Daytona 500 coming to a short track. And anybody that knows me knows that I'm not necessarily an open wheel fan. But the excitement that this thing brings to this racetrack is just incredible.
You don't like excitement, do you, Rusty?
I love excitement. My motto is, if you can't have fun, ain't no sense in doing it.
10,000 people, huh?
I wouldn't doubt that there'd be more than that here. I mean, the way that this thing is promoted, the way that this thing is, I mean, it's just unbelievable to watch it. I mean, it starts just about as soon as the checkered flag drops previous year, they start planning for the next year.
I'll guarantee you, within 2 weeks of last year's race, they already had the logo for this year's race.
Oh, exactly. I mean, they're just incredible. And Steve Lewis and the gang out there, I mean, they're really, really professional, and it's a real treat to work with them.
Well, you'll probably have 12,000 people because Rick Angies, Bill Green, Jack Smith, we're all coming on Friday night, so we'll probably bring our entourage. We'll have a couple
of thousand.
Yeah,
we'll take the entourage with us.
Yeah, we'll have a couple of thousand more, so.
All signing in under your banner, huh?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah. Check them all for rocks at the gate, too. Make sure they're not throwing anything. So what's the lineup for this weekend's race?
You can do the motocross.
Yeah, right. What's the lineup for this weekend's race, Rusty?
The lineup for this weekend's race is Thursday. We'll be practiced and qualified. The gate will open here at 9 o'clock in the morning, but the front ticket booth will open at, I believe it's 5 o'clock. I'm sorry, 1 p.m., a general admission spectator gate to open. Then we'll do the qualifying and whatnot all that night, and then Friday is the big one. And if you've ever been, if you haven't been to one of these, Steve Lewis, whenever he puts on a party, which is what this thing is, he puts on a party. There's no expense spared. There'll be plenty of fireworks and pyrotechnics, and the Budweiser girls will be here. The twins will be here. Names from all over. If you're an Oakville fan,
the twins.
The only place to be because the biggest names in the country will be here.
We had Steve on our show a few weeks ago, and I forgot all about the twins.
I found the twins on the website.
that was the big, yeah. Wayne Jefferson was in here that night, wasn't he?
Yeah, Wayne was here.
Yeah, yeah. That was the twin night.
Well, we've added to it this year where the Budweiser girls are going to be here, and they're going to be greeting everybody at the front gate, giving them their program. What else? I mean, the way that Steve puts on a show, it's just a marvel to watch because of the way that he does it. I mean, everything is done right down to the – he crosses all of his T's and dots all of his I's.
Yeah, we talked to him about how this whole thing started – in that little arena up in Indiana or somewhere, and it's just progressed from to what it is now. And the thing that attracted him more was to bring it down here was to have the race, too.
Right, right.
And what a facility to bring it to.
I think they've been very, very happy with the race. Of course, it can always be better. Any race is that way. But I think that they've been extremely happy with this race. There's little details that, because, like I said, Steve, he pays attention to all the details. And he likes everything to be absolutely perfect. And when he throws a party, the man throws a party. And if you want a party to go to and you're an open wheel fan, even if you're not an open wheel fan, come see how this thing unfolds.
Yeah, it's supposed to be something. You know, and Rusty, you know, being a promoter just as well as I do, that you can promote it, you can put it together, you can get the best drivers in the world, but once that green flag flies, it's out of your hands.
Exactly. For those that are Tony Stewart fans, we've got the little corral set up over there for the Tony Stewart cars. I understand Casey Kane's cars are going to be here. Now, whether they'll be here or not, I don't know because I don't ask any questions. But I do know that in the past 2 years, the who's who of auto racing has been in this pit area.
Well, it's the PRI show, brother.
Yeah, exactly.
They all go at one day or another.
I'm proud that they bring it to Orlando Speed World, and I hope that we can continue this for as long as the PRI show exists in Orlando.
Yeah, I tell you, will you get a chance to sneak away and go over to the convention center?
Usually, when I get to do that, it's on Saturday. But this Saturday, if I do get to do it, it'll be very briefly because I've got the Winter Series going on Saturday night, and trying to get from here to there, back over to here. Sometimes it just doesn't work, but I'll probably get down there for a little bit, but not for a whole bunch. I usually miss the welcome breakfast. In fact, I can't even remember who the keynote speaker. Who is the keynote speaker this year?
Actually, I was just reading about it, and now it's the guy from the announcer guy from Fox, I believe. I know it is. I just can't think of his name.
I put you guys on the spot. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make them squirm. Go ahead, make them squirm, okay. Rusty.
Yeah, so now...
Was supposed to be Casey Kane, actually.
Really?
The start, when they started off. But.
And see, that's another thing that makes me happy about this, because I'm a big Dodge fan, and this is sponsored by Mopar. So I have Mopar signs hanging all over the place, and it's just really, really cool. And if you've never been to Orlando Speed World, you'll never see this track more spectacularly done because of the way that Steve Lewis, I mean, he's had his guys here. Eric Wardo has been here all week. He'll be here all week. We've got the beautiful 5R truck and trailer, big Renegade sitting out here that they use for their office. I mean, Orlando has taken on a whole new look for this event.
So what's Robert do? Just walk around with a big fat cigar?
Robert just says, thank God I ain't got to make this payout.
Got that right.
Carl Edwards is the breakfast
That's
speaker.
Right. Carl Edwards, yeah.
Carl Edwards? How could you not know Carl Edwards?
Because I was thinking
Jack
of
doesn't
else.
Like nasty car.
You know me. I'm not a nasty car fan.
Carl Edwards was here a couple of years ago for our Winter Nationals. And what an outstanding person.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a nice guy.
You couldn't – he didn't act any different than any other driver that was here. I mean, he just – in fact, it rained that day. He was going to drive a baby grand, and it rained. And he sat in our parts trailer and watched the stuff that was going on at Daytona. And he had just won, I believe it was the truck race, either the day before or that morning, and came here to run a baby grand.
And he came down to Georgia. Remember this ASA deal? He came down to Georgia and helped that kid raise the money.
Yeah, it was a boat. No,
Oh, man. See, this is what happens. We need focus factor.
Yeah.
Anyway, he came down to Georgia and helped a kid raise money to get
Colt James? No, Bo Slocum.
Slocum.
Bo Slocum, yeah.
Helped him come down and raise money.
Bo Slocum.
Great guy.
He's a really great guy. And, you know, that's the kind of people that Steve brings into this. I mean, any time that he's had, what was it, Ken Schrader last year? And how can you ask for any more of a class act than that?
Well, you're dropping names tonight, man.
Hey, you know, and who was it the year before? Tony Stewart?
What's it? Stewart? Is that the guy that drives the number 20?
Yeah, that Home Depot car.
That Home Depot car, yeah.
And, I mean, it's just, like I said, if you've never been to Orlando, if you hate Orlando, come to Orlando this weekend because just the sheer entertainment value of it all. You know, we always do Steve always has the big trailer pulled out front at the end of it, and the confetti flying and fireworks going off, and there'll be fireworks flying out of the DuPage truck here at Orlando. And
Rusty, I haven't been to Orlando all year. Do you know that? All year.
I haven't been to Orlando in years.
Okay.
But I'm going to be there twice in 3 weeks. 2 weeks.
You know what they say? You save the best for last.
That's right, because we got the Truckers Charity 200 up there, the truck race.
That's always a big event, and we're looking for it to be really huge this year. Rick Bristol's been working his butt off trying to make that thing what it should be, and I think it's going to be just absolutely phenomenal this year. I mean, we've got – normally this track is closed down by now, and we haven't let up yet. After the Crash-O-Rama, trying to get it cleaned up for the first leg of the Winter Series, and then
– Yeah, them rednecks make the place dirty, don't they?
Oh, jeez. And then whenever you're as stupid as I am and don't realize that the belts on the blower need to be tightened up and can't figure out why nothing's moving off of the racetrack.
Oh, God.
For 6 months I've been this way. The other day I tightened them up and holy crap, I almost blew the walls down. But, yeah, we're just keeping right on going. We'll close down for a couple weeks during Christmas. Not even a couple weeks, I don't think. And then we're right back at it again with the third, fourth, and fifth leg of the Winter Series. And then next thing you know, here comes Winter Nationals. Then right after that, we're right back to the 2008 season, and I can tell you that everybody in Fast Car is excited about the 2008 season. I mean, I've never seen everybody pulling together and doing like we're doing right now. I mean, everybody is just...
Team Fast Car.
About 2008.
Team Fast Car. Well, I know that Friday night you're not going to have time to talk to... you know, this mere mortals like us, but
yeah, right.
So we'll wave to you. You'll just give us a little nod, and then
throw us a t-shirt and a hot dog.
It'll be good. I mean, here's how I am during PRI. Once I hear that first group of cars go out there to test, I know it's all good.
All right,
there you go.
This year, I don't think we're gonna have to bring the airboats in. That's a good thing.
Right,
that's a very good thing.
But right. Yeah, you guys, anybody that's listening, if you like, I said it is. It is just an event to come see it, and it's not an overpriced event. $20 for 2 days. How can you beat that?
That's a great deal. I'm so sorry that I can't make it up there. This Friday. But you know what? This is an annual event, right?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to have to put it on my calendar for next year.
This is the third annual Mopar Sprint and Midget Classic.
Hey, and I'm right there with you. I'm a Mopar girl.
There you go.
CC hasn't quite figured out yet that once you really get into this thing, especially from the media side, your weekends are all taken up, man.
He hadn't figured that out yet.
Hey, Russ.
I would be there Friday, but I have to be at my other gig at 7 a.m. Saturday morning. So.
Yeah, and your point.
So do I.
You just want to be on the radio.
Hey, Rusty. We'll see
yes,
you.
Sir.
Thank you very much, man,
Thank
for
you.
Coming
Look
on.
Look forward to seeing you tomorrow night.
We'll see you.
All right.
Bye. All right. Good night. He's got his days mixed up because we're not going to see him tomorrow night.
He's already on Thursday.
He's 9 miles an hour.
He moves so fast.
And 100-mile-an-hour track.
So I found this little thing here, but I don't know, man. 29 minutes. I thought it was only, this must be the extended version. Maybe this.
Oh, is that what I think that is over there?
Yeah, but I don't know if this is the one or not, because it says 01, 09, 07. This would be the makeup. This was the makeup party. This was the kiss and makeup party.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Right?
01, 09?
That would be January 9th of this year.
Yeah,
that was the makeup.
The other one would be August 24th.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to get it for you some other time. I couldn't find it on this computer because it's on a different computer.
Yeah, that's the kiss and makeup one.
Nobody knows what we're talking about, and it really doesn't matter.
No, no, not at all.
Just ignore this portion.
Just keep listening, and sometime you'll hear it.
Tomorrow night on Straight Line with Stevie, we have Scotty Cannon. Man, one of the top fuel guys
yeah.
on planet Earth. And he's going to do return.
Go fast, go straight.
He's going back to doing some modified stuff with his kid, man, when they got teamed up. Father
oh, yeah?
and son. Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. And then we have an ASA show. Terry Wall, my co-host on with the ASA, O'Reilly ASA Fastlane, will be.
If you don't get a restraining order.
In Orlando. Yeah, okay. In Orlando. Yeah. That could happen.
That could
yeah.
happen.
You can't say ASA. Just say Fastlane.
Oh, remember when I... Speed Weeks?
Yeah.
Do you know, just as we're closing here, do you know that in, what, 1998 or 99?
It was 99.
99. I got nasty letters from the lawyers. From Nasty Car.
Really?
Because I used one of their words. You know,
companies
own
trademark registered words.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Speed Weeks. And I used it.
You can't say
And then I ignored them. And that made them send me even nastier letters. And then I called them up on the phone and gave the lawyer a piece of my mind. And he sent me a very nice letter.
Cordial
letter thanking me for my contributions in stock car racing. If I would just simply remove the Speed Weeks from...
Use a different word.
Yeah. So we used a different word.
Yeah.
Too funny.
Yeah.
They get a little overboard sometime.
Next week on this show, Real Racing USA Live on Tuesday night, Jimmy Mars is going to join us.
Jimmy Mars.
Yeah, Jimmy Mars.
Dirt late model driver extraordinaire.
And we will hopefully have the winner and maybe some of the other... deals from Orlando this week, and of course the stormpay.com winners, runners up, or newsmakers.
That's one that I can't go to because I have to work.
Yeah, well, the days are
numbered.
I'll
think about you while I'm there.
Okay, I'll think about you Friday night.
Okay.
The days are numbered. And other than that,
it's a wrap.
I think
it's a wrap. Cece, it's great working with you tonight.
It was nice being here with you guys.
Yeah, it was a fun night. Real Racing USA. We'll be back next Tuesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Tune in right here. Good night now.
to love.